Hi, everybody. I'm Maury Povich. On my podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, I'm going to sit down with the icons, the stars, and the faces at the very center of today's big cultural moments. With everyone from comedians Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, Leanne Morgan, to newsmakers Don Lemon, Joy Reid, Aaron Parnas, and so many more. So join me for new episodes every week, because nothing is off limits. Great conversations. They're always on par. Follow and listen to On Par with Maury Povich wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You download that app at your Google Play Store, your Apple App Store. Just follow WILK News Radio once you have it downloaded. Podcasts, we got you covered there. Anywhere you get your favorite podcast, we are there. Just search for the Rob O'Donnell Show. And those smart speakers, just ask it to play WILK News Radio, and it'll play us live for any of our shows here during those times. How's everyone doing? It is 4:11, 53 degrees and sunny outside. Get some of that. Enjoy it. You know, I know we had some technical issues during Stu Henry's show with the board and some of the electronics here. I was kind of hoping it lasted. I was going to say, hey, just play a best of. I'm going home. I'm gonna enjoy this warm weather. Let the sun hit my face. But they fixed it. Our technical crew here is just outstanding. Got it repaired in a matter of 15, 20 minutes. And so here we are. Plus, I probably have enough material to do three shows today. There was just so much going on, so much more happening. I am still monitoring that meeting's taking place at the White House. Look, lies Representative Van Orton, Derek Van Orton from Wisconsin, is talking right now. The energy secretary's there. The Speaker of the House is there. This means this is more of an energy roundtable, talking about AI data centers, creating more energy infrastructure here. So that's what appears they're discussing right now. So, but we are monitoring that. I want to get into honoring the men and women, the four out of the six that have been identified as being killed in action. And just to read these stories and see the faces, I posted their pictures and who they were and where they were from yesterday, but now we're finding out more about them and hearing some personal accounts of people that served with them and what they thought of these absolute warriors, family members, mothers, fathers that were killed serving our nation, wearing our flag. First, Sergeant First Class Nicole Armour was just days away from returning home to her husband and two children. Days away. I'm going to go more into this story in a later segment, but she was just days away of coming home to return to her husband and two children when the drone strike at a command center in Kuwait killed her and five other U.S. service members. She was almost home, her husband, Joey Amar, said from their home in White Bear Lake, Minnesota, on Tuesday. You don't go to Kuwait thinking something's going to happen, and for her to be one of the first, it hurts, her husband said. Armour was one of four U.S. soldiers killed in the Iran war on Sunday and identified Tuesday by the Pentagon. Two soldiers haven't yet been publicly identified. The members of the Army Reserve worked in logistics and kept troops supplied with food and equipment. They died just one day after the U.S. and Israel launched a military campaign against Iran. Iran responded by launching missiles and drones against Israel and several Gulf Arab states that host U.S. armed forces. Those killed also include Captain Cody Cork, 35, of Winter Haven, Florida. I actually saw a post from someone who served with him that's saying he was such a kind-hearted leader, someone to guide you, someone to help you better yourself. Some of the personal stories that are out there. Sergeant First Class Noah Tejans, 42, of Bellevue, Nebraska. Sergeant Declan Cody, 20, of West Des Moines, Iowa. Posthumously promoted to specialist. No other names have been released yet, but we are expecting the release of the two additional either later today or early tomorrow based on the Department of War timeframe. These men and women all bravely volunteered to defend our country, and their sacrifice will never be forgotten, Army Secretary Daniel Driscoll said. All were assigned to the 103rd Sustainment Command, which provides food, fuel, water, and ammunition, transport equipment, and supply. one of the youngest in his class, Cody, had just told his father last week that he had been recommended for promotion from specialist to sergeant, a rank he received posthumously. He was one of the youngest people in his class, but seemed to impress his instructors, his father, Andrew Cody, said Tuesday. He was very good at what he did, he said. There's pictures of the family members being interviewed by the press, and it's just heartbreaking. As parents of two active duty service members, it hits home every time. Cody trained as an information technology specialist with the Army Reserves and was studying cybersecurity at Drake University in Des Moines.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
He was taking online classes while in Kuwait and wanted to become an officer. I still don't fully think it's real, his sister Kira said. I just remember all of our conversations about what he was going to do when he came back. The mother of two who loved gardening, Amor, 39, who was supposed to come home in mere days, was an avid gardener who enjoyed making salsa from the peppers and tomatoes in her garden with her son, a senior in high school. She also enjoyed rollerblading, bicycling with her fourth grade daughter. A week before the drone attack, Amor was moved off base to a shipping container style building that had no defenses, her husband said. They were dispersing because they were afraid that the base that they were on was going to get attacked, and they felt it was safer in smaller groups in separate places, he said. He last spoke to her about 2 hours before she was killed. He said she was working long shifts, and that they'd been messaging about her tripping and falling the night before. She just never responded in the morning, he said. Another quark. A call to serve his country was very patriotic and drawn from a young age to serving the U.S., his family said in a statement Tuesday. He enlisted in the Army Reserves and joined the Florida Southern College ROTC program. That commitment helped shape the course of his life and reflect the deep sense of duty that he was always at his core of who he was, his mother said. Father James, stepmother, all said in a statement. Cork also loved history and had a degree in political science. His family described him as the life of the party, known for his infectious spirit, generous heart, and deep care for those who served alongside him and for everyone blessed to know him. One of Cork's friends, Abbas Jeffer, posted on Facebook on Monday that he had lost the best person he had ever known. My best friend, best man, and brother gave his life defending our country overseas. But friends for more than 16 years. Tejan's a loving father and husband with his family in the Washington Terrace Mobile Home Park in Omaha, suburb of Bellevue, Nebraska. He was married with a son, according to his social media page. Tejan's earned a black belt in Philippine combative taekwondo and was an instructor who gave his time, discipline, and leadership to others, said the school that he worked at. On the mat and as a soldier, he carried the same values, honor, discipline, service, and commitment to others, the organization said. Nebraska Governor Gov Pillen paid tribute to the family on Tuesday. Noah stepped up to serve and defend the American people from foreign enemies around the world, a sacrifice we must never forget, he wrote. We are holding the Tejan's family close to our hearts, and during this unbelievable, difficult time, we will keep them in our prayers, he said. And those are our four warriors right now who have made the ultimate sacrifice for our country due to a missile strike, drone strike from Iran in response to military operations. There are two more that we are still waiting for. And again, we have 18 that are severely wounded, hopefully on the mend, and hopefully that number does not go up. We did find out some more information on the three F-15s that were shot down. It turns out it was not the Patriot missile battery that took them down. It was actually a Legacy F-18 that was piloted by a Kuwaiti pilot. This is something that's going to need to be looked into. It's obviously something that needs to be studied. It's obviously something that a lot of people in the aviation community are scratching their heads how it happens. The F-15E Eagle is one of our most advanced aircraft. Now, obviously, they're not stealth. They're fourth-generation aircraft, but it is extremely capable. The F-18C, which is a legacy, what we call a legacy Hornet, the old Hornets, where now we only use the Super Hornets in the United States. It's antiquated systems. It's not as robust. It is extremely capable. Mind you, some of our Marine units still use the legacy Hornets, which they're phasing out. But the fact that an older F-18 legacy Hornet was able to shoot down three state-of-the-art F-15s, again, there's a lot of questions there. And I'm not going to second guess or find, you know, we probably won't know a lot of what's going on. Now, the Kuwaiti Air Force has probably two dozen legacy F-18 Hornets that we've sold them in decades past. We are delivering, I believe, two dozen modern Super Hornets, F-18 E's and F's. E's are single seat, F's are two seaters to Kuwait to update their Air Force. From my understanding, listening to some experts that are on the that are former Top Gun pilots and F-18 Super Hornet pilots, Wiz Buckley, Wiz being his call sign, was on social media today saying that from what he's finding out, from what he's hearing, this was a beyond visual range radar-guided missile strike. So that means that the F-18 did not see the F-15s. They could not see him. They were beyond visual, so radar picks them up, but you cannot. They're so far, you can't see them. They're usually over the horizon. But the fact that our F-15s did not detect that they had incoming missiles to them, again, is something that's going to need to be studied. Thankfully, all six of those pilots and weapon systems officers are recovering from injuries, but are alive and are back in our care. So there's a good point there, but for the aviation community, this is something that's going to need to be looked at quite heavily as far as the after-action report and debriefings that they take in regards to this incident.
I'm Mark Sullinger, producer and one of the hosts of The Moth Podcast. For nearly two decades, The Moth has brought live storytelling to stages around the world and to millions of listeners. These are real people telling true stories from their lives. Stories about a lost family recipe, about working to free a wrongfully convicted man, about realizing you need to leave your May-December romance. Stories that will move you, surprise you, make you laugh. Stories you can't forget. Join us. Follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.